I am earnestly curious if tartar sauce is, because the origin was from there, like sandwich, Earl of Sandwich.
Oh, so tartar sauces was like invented by the Earl of Tartar?
Right, yeah.
Greetings, Apropossian, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we are recording remotely. Because we don't have a remote clue nemesis. What we're doing.
Well, there's always that.
Okay, that was actually pretty well played. Like,
no, James is...
not feeling great.
James is James.
This is correct, yes.
We don't want his, you know, whatever...
ilk?
He is infesting us.
We don't want his Jamesness around here.
Yeah. Mm. Get your Jamesness away from me.
And honestly, I've just been waiting for that to be a problem, really. Mm-hmm. I always knew that it would be.
It's always been a problem. Buddy, don't worry about that.
I just have internet that'll sustain this now.
Don't underestimate yourself, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch. Yeah.
So that means I'm drinking some apricot wheat ale from Fitgers.
Ooh. Yes,
that's why you're drinking.
Also, that's why I'm drinking.
I have the CPB chocolate peanut butter porter ale with natural flavors added from Lupulin Brewing. I've never had this before, so this is an exciting new adventure.
Lupulin's got some fun stuff.
You know, I think I like that a lot better than a peanut butter stout. That is delicious.
Well, all right then. I am drinking, because of course I am, out of my AON podcast pint glass.
Ooh.
I have a White Russian, but made with my non-dairy coffee creamer. It's French vanilla flavored, and it tastes amazing with the Kahlua.
Oh, fuck. That does sound amazing.
So it's a white Frenchman.
Huh.
Frenchman white?
No.
I was kidding.
No? No.
I was playing off of the pirate stereotype thing from earlier, although our audience may or may not have been around for that.
So. They didn't hear any of that, so they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, now I look like the asshole.
Yep.
What do you mean now?
Usually the two of you buffer me pretty fucking well.
That's the byline of the podcast.
Look, I am happily married. I have not buffered anyone for quite some time.
That's what we've heard, honestly.
Oh.
What?
Huh? Nothing. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, what are y'all been up to?
I've been breaking myself.
That seems right.
Sucker.
Yeah, no, I broke myself. My son and I, as listeners will know, I've been taking Kung Fu together with my son. Every Friday for the past, you know, while. And on Friday, this last Friday was the last class of the semester, of the quarter, whatever you want to call it. Last class of the quarter. And so we had our belt tests. And so my son and I, we took our belt tests and we passed. We're both orange belts now.
Woo. Hey, the best belt.
Congratulations.
Which is really impressive considering I haven't been there in 4 weeks. I had Renaissance Festival in Nebraska for two weeks, and then Janesville Renaissance Festival the week after that, where I've been traveling on Friday evenings when class is going on. So it's been 4 weeks, you know, since I've been at Kung Fu. So I walked in there and I was like, let's find out how much I remember, because I got to take a belt test in just about 10 minutes here. So, you know, we thankfully settle in. We kind of do a quick like rundown of like the forms and stuff before we actually have to test on him. You know, it's not one of those like walk into the room and do the test now, do it right. It's like walk in and be like, okay, everybody, remember, this is how you do it.
Not loading you immediately into the catapult.
Exactly. So, but, you know, we did the tests. We both got our orange belts. We were very happy. And then we moved on with the rest of the class, you know, and we were, you know, we worked on a few things. We worked on this, we worked on this, and then we were working on a kicking sequence where we had to do a front kick, a roundhouse kick, and a jump kick or a scissor kick.
Mm-hmm.
In sequence. So it was like kick, kick, kick. And, you know, got into the rhythm of it pretty good a few times there. And I was starting to push myself, trying to get a higher, you know, stronger kick, you know, get some height, get some strength into it. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to try the other leg, you know, try to get some balance. But while I switched to the other leg, I was still in the same, like, pushing myself on height and strength.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't tone it back down again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I did front kick, fine. Roundhouse, fine. Jump kick. Big high jump. Snapped my foot forward.
Oof.
And I got some real good extension. And my hamstring on my left leg went, you're not as young as you used to be, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, totally pulled my hamstring. And it looked really impressive. Like, I landed. And you know how when you injure yourself, you kind of have that moment of like, oh, everything's okay. It's okay. We're fine. Right. You know, like your body takes a moment to go,
medically, that's called shock.
Yeah, you exactly.
Like shock.
No. The shock came later. This was still that moment before shock. So I landed and the guy behind me actually went, oh, that was a really impressive one. And I was like, cool, thanks. And then I like walked to the back of the line.
Mm.
And that's when like my face got really hot and I started to sweat and the world got a little darker and I went, I'm going to go lay down in the corner now. Cause otherwise I'm about to pass out. cause now shock is setting in.
Right.
So yeah, I did. I went and laid down in the corner and I elevated my leg cause I know what I have fainted before. I know what to do and how to, you know. So I went and laid down and elevated my leg. And I was just like, okay, cool. We're good. We're good. And like the people running the class, like they were like, you cool? And I was like, yep, just pulled my hamstring. Feeling a little faint. And they're like, all right, cool. Let us know if you need anything. Because they could see that I was
in pain,
but I also had it under control. Like I didn't need somebody over there, like fawning over me. I was just like, I've got this. It hurts, but I've got this. So they finished the class and I like, you know, and then they did the presentation of the new belts, you know? And so like I hobbled up and I got my belt and then I sat back down.
I was like, yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've been dealing with all this last weekend was a pulled hamstring, which, honestly,
not nearly as fun as pulled pork.
No. Which honestly is like, as long as I was like sitting or laying down, obviously wasn't a problem, and I could do walking and even stairs as long as I never like took a step on that leg. You know what I mean? Like to flex the heel downward or the toes upward to, you know, put pressure on that foot. So I was able to navigate the house pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had to sit down on the toilet.
Oh, no.
Because the bowl of the toilet means that all of my weight is across the back of my thigh, which is where that hamstring is.
Mm-hmm.
That was agony. Pure agony. But yeah, I've spent the last few nights with my leg, like, with a pillow behind my knee to keep my leg bent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not stretching that muscle out or anything like that. So it's, I'm starting to, I think I'll try going into work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how I feel in the morning, but I think I'll be able to do it.
Don't push yourself too hard.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, if there was stairs or anything like that, it would be a problem, but because we have elevators and stuff, I think I'm good.
All right.
So
try not to hurt yourself on the shitter.
That too.
I mean, those are words to live by, really. So, yeah, that's what I did. And then had a birthday party for my kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're getting older. And I'm again it. But it was fun. Had a grand old party. Lots mm-hmm. of friends came over. Yeah. Lots of... The cake. There's
a number of adults and a buttload of children.
So, they wanted an Among Us-themed party.
Okay.
Which is mm-hmm. fine. We got a bunch of Among Us stuff. And then on Thursday, I went into Target, to the bakery, to get a cake for... You know, the kid. I was like, I would like an Among Us themed cake. And they were like, cool. And then they called me on Friday and said, we don't have the rights to use Among Us.
Oh, no.
So we can't do that. We can do a couple other. We can do a generic space themed one, or we could do like something else. But just like, nope, that's not going to fly with my kid. So. With, you know, 2 days in advance, I went, well, looks like I'm making a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is something I honestly haven't done for a little while. Like, I used to make the kids' cakes regularly, but I've just mm-hmm. gotten busy the past few years and I haven't been able to do it.
Sure.
But I did pull apart, you know, the cupcake cake thing.
Yep.
And I did the Among Us thing on it, and people seem to think I did okay, so.
No, it looked pretty good.
But, yeah, that was an exciting, like, oh, I guess I need to do this thing that I wasn't planning on
suddenly.
Doing.
Suddenly.
So.
Oh my god, suddenly you were attacked by an imposter. Oh. So.
Anyway. That was mostly, and then, so I made the cake and then I basically sat for most of the party.
You were also grilling. And at one point I was like, I should offer to just take over for that.
That would have been great.
Yeah. Well, I decided not to.
I noticed.
Yeah. I got you a plate, asshole.
That was very nice of you. Thank you.
I was keeping an eye on you, and like I saw at one point I was like, Salsa's really gonna need a plate for this.
Yep.
So just anyway.
My gimpy ass walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I injured myself. Hooray.
Well, I went to a little kid's birthday party. Yeah.
Yeah, you know who didn't go to a little kid's birthday party?
Yeah. Probably someone that didn't want to get those kids sick. Yeah.
God, how dare they be so considerate? Fucker.
Well, and the thing is, like, I don't even know if it's that I got something because strep and COVID were negative. So I don't know if I just have a cold or if it's legitimately the bad air quality just totally fucking me over.
That might be it too, yeah.
Air quality is awful. The like air quality, both pollution-wise and allergen-wise,
yeah,
is just, it's fucked out there, y'all. I went to get into my car at one point yesterday because I went several places, and I was like, God, I'm getting really allergy-full. I wonder what it is. And, like, as I'm starting to drive away, just, like, all of these little cottony flots of bits come up off the windshield. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm just yelling at
It's those days where I come outside and my car is yellow.
Yeah.
From just all the pollen. Those are days where it's like, it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
Yelling at tree cum might be my all acoustic Bloodhound Gang cover band.
Oh, that's a pretty good call. I'm maybe just the album.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think that's an album name. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
But yeah, so I went to the birthday party, and then I went to a barbecue where I ran into every human being on the planet.
All 7 billion of them?
All 7 billion of them were at specific barbecue. It was really impressive. Friend does barbecue. And when I say barbecue, I do not mean cooking things on a grill. That is not barbecue. Mm-hmm. I used to be ignorant of this, but having spent almost 6 years with a guy from KC, I have learned the error of my ways. If nothing has been smoked, there is no barbecue. Barbecue is very specifically inclusive of smoking something. And I don't mean cigarettes or joints or whatever the fuck. I mean, like, smoked meat, right? Except that's been a
huge market for pot smoked brisket.
Doubtful. So why would you do that to the brisket?
I mean, there's your
gummies and you be happy about it.
There's
God
a stakes are high joke in there somewhere, but I really, that's not what I'm driving at. I just think that people get weird about stuff that they enjoy, and
right,
I think people would try it.
So anyway, went to this barbecue. I believe a stakes are high joke was made at the barbecue.
I feel like if there's not a stakes joke at every barbecue, then somebody's doing it wrong.
Right. So anyway, and it was, there was really good. There were so many ribs. There was so many ribs. And I got there a few hours late, but there was still meat going, continuous meat. It was nonstop meat. And also there was a table of other stuff. So
hell yeah.
So I got to hang out with James's spouse, and, other various, hooligans, I'm going to say. I only intended to be there for a couple of hours and I didn't leave until like about 7:30, somewhere in there. So I spent longer than I anticipated, which means I didn't get any yard work done. Oh no. Yep.
Oh, whatever will you do?
I know, right? But today I spent with my landlord, only a few hours. We set up the air conditioning units. So now I'm not going to die in my house. That's nice. We
curse is foiled again.
Yeah. Got to try harder, Salsa.
I'll get you one of these days.
One of these
and
days.
And your little dog too.
I don't have a dog. I'm allergic.
um,
I mean, Joe can be kind of puppy-like sometimes.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right. Anyway. But then we talked about some future plans for the house. Things I want to do, things he wants to get done. There is a path in my yard. In my tiny yard that goes from the front walk to the side patio. And when my landlord initially put that in, he thought it would be clever and put it in with old chimney bricks that were no longer needed.
Mm-hmm.
And those bricks weren't meant to be in the ground. So they have been deteriorating. So he's going to redo the path. And I have planting things I want to get done, but I don't want to do the planting until the path is in. Anyway. So he's gonna start.
Sorry.
What?
It's going to be your path. It's going to be the path O'Gen.
Drink.
Wow. Wow, motherfucker. Wow. Only on St. Patrick's Day. So he was going to do it while I was out of town that one weekend, but then it rained. So he didn't, but he's hiring some teenagers to help him dig up the old bricks and help get everything laid down and all the rest of that. So hopefully soon I'll have a path that isn't mostly crumbled brick and dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's in, I'll feel more confident in getting my planting done and the landscaping rock along the side of the house done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't right now anyway. There's a giant pile of bricks that are going to become a path that are up against the house.
Yep.
The future bricks. They're whatever. Okay. Yeah, they're all very nicely stacked up against the house and ready to be put into the ground.
Got it.
They're just not there yet. So once that happens, I'm going to get all of that landscaping along the side of the landscaping rock along the side of the house. And get some stuff planted and then not do anything with my yard ever again. I don't care what happens next. It's been such a frustrating journey of like waiting to till, then having problems with the tiller, then hand tilling, then waiting for the path to get done, so that I can till again. Cause I was mulching leaves into the dirt to try to provide more nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been such a fucking drag, and I already feel like I lost an entire month due to things outside of my control, and I'm cranky about it.
Mm.
So, yeah. I want plants now, goddammit. But I gotta wait. So. And there are other things in the works, but until that is properly notarized. I'm not ready to talk about that. So, more to come.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, I think that's pretty thrilling. We are very much looking forward to doing our yard and that kind of thing. Right now, our yard is overgrown, so I might have to break out a mower for the first time in.
Nobody's James fact checking us, James.
20?
Oh shit.
2 years?
I had an entire person in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Like adult person that can drink and drive, but so not it has at the same been time.
A Jessa since I mowed last.
Ooh, if you said that in front of her, I don't think she would let you get away with it.
No, I clearly not. Yeah.
So, yeah, what else? James, what have you been up to?
Mostly that.
I thought that's what we were leading into. So
yeah, mostly that. I have been sick.
That's
still.
All he did all last week.
I put a cabinet up in the bathroom, and I ran the box office for a Ville show. Oh, the fucking Ville show was.
Oh my god! You kind of buried the lead there.
Well, I was just working the box office, but it was a great show.
Still,
yeah.
I still think that's more interesting than putting a cabinet up.
I was really proud of that cabinet, though.
Okay.
And but I may have learned an important lesson because of Zelda.
And that is...
I
didn't learn it very well, did you?
Well, so in Breath of the Wild, I made it a habit that if anything attacked me, that no matter how many lives it took, I would beat it at least once.
All right.
And that meant that I sat down and for like 20 or 30 tries, eventually learned to beat the giant stone guys with an absurdly low number of weapons and hearts and everything like that. And it meant that I didn't have to be afraid of them anymore. Because I knew that it might take me a couple tries, but that I now knew the patterns and I could beat them. And that really came in handy a lot more than expected.
You turned Zelda into Dark Souls.
A little bit. So,
okay.
The problem that I'm having in this new one is that I have now encountered two different enemies that I have no motivation currently to continue fighting them.
All right.
They definitely attacked me out of nowhere, and I absolutely tried a few times.
But you have a rule, James.
I do have a rule, but there is a very different feeling to these. There is the feeling that there is not an amount of reasonable goodness that I can attain given the equipment and the number of hearts and stuff that I have in that game, that there is not a possible way to defeat them.
Salsa, is James learning that sometimes it's not worth the effort to continue to indulge in an arbitrary guideline?
No, he's a quitter.
It definitely feels that way.
What I'm hearing, James, is you have no integrity.
Oh.
And fuck. You, when the going got tough, took your own rule and just flung it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what I believe happened, Salsa, is that James, when faced with a situation where that rule no longer serviced him, he allowed himself to make the adjustments necessary to that rule.
Oh. He allowed himself to have no integrity and to just quit.
It's called cowardice. No, there's a flying dragon with three heads that shoots a frost laser out of all three heads. You can't outrun the laser because it's a fucking laser, but like as it's shooting the ground, you can't outmaneuver the laser. And then if you manage to knock it down three times, I did. Anytime you're hit by that laser, it's an instant kill for me where I'm at right now. But I managed to shoot it in all three heads, which is the way that you put it down on the ground. And I did that several times to the point where it has changed the weapons that it uses. So now it spits kind of a frozen fireball at the ground, which explodes into a huge frost spike snowflake that does damage because it's covered in points, but also will freeze you to death if you touch it. Like in the initial explosion, if you get caught in it, you will be frozen to death. And all three heads spit those. And so you can't hide behind things or under things because it will still get you. It's an AOE. And it doesn't let up. There's no moment where it recollects itself to go again.
It doesn't have you let a turn.
Continues to the assault. And so after knocking it down three or four times, my best time, after I want to say 16, 17 tries, I had not yet done a quarter damage to it with my strongest weapons. And yeah. Well,
that means you just needed to do it another 45 more times.
Yeah, this is what I'm hearing. That's is you're mad. Giving up, James.
Yeah. For now.
Quitter. No, not for now. James, you have a rule. You're not allowed to enjoy the rest of this game until honestly, you do this.
Rude. Honestly, I am internally conflicted, and I am...
No, I know.
Finding that's it difficult like, to enjoy.
This is why I'm having so much fun with this. Because I know that if I say, no, you have to do this, then you will just not enjoy the game until you do this.
The problem is that's already the case. It is already... like, I already feel...
Only harnessed. James... Only James can ruin Tears of the Fucking Kingdom... for himself because of self-imposed rules that no one is making him follow.
Yeah
except me. I'm gonna make him follow one.
Well, I just, for me, the being afraid of an enemy fight like that is it
the
really,
point of the game, James.
It really fucks me up.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, but I'm having to overcome that internally, and it's a lot for me to process, and I don't know.
I believe in you, buddy.
Yeah.
I think you can do it.
Like there is a point of being discouraged. Like a lot of the stuff that I fought before could kill me in one hit, and I've just continued to throw myself at it until I make a dent, but these feel different and worse.
I mean, for me, it just sounds like you're starting to put a value on your time and effort, and deciding these things aren't worth your time and effort at this moment. That's what I'm hearing.
I think the difference is it doesn't feel like there is an amount of time that I can put into it. I genuinely feel that there is no way, given what I have currently, that it is possible.
I love how no matter how much this is a no-brainer, because I'm saying what I'm saying, it has become a brainer for James.
I think it was a brainer for James beforehand.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just, but I'm continuing it to make it a brainer.
Oh, you're continuing James. To be a dick about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Because this is a fucking no brainer.
That's literally Salsa's job.
This is a goddamn easy, like, rhetorical question. And James will not rhetorical it at all.
No, I feel genuinely conflicted about it.
Oh, my God. I love you, James, so much.
Well, should we maybe take a break?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we need to overcome this.
I have decided. Because
I was attacking James's integrity. Mm-hmm. And now he has to fight me.
I have decided that this is not worth the value of my time and energy.
And the listeners are like, yeah, go fucking do another shrine. Just whatever. whatever.
So break.
Yeah, I like it.
I suppose.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Video games.
Video games.
And we're back.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Well done, James.
I'm so proud of you.
Is that your first one?
I think it is.
I think it is.
Holy fuck.
Good job.
Look at our little boy. He's growing up.
Yeah. I mean, there was still quite the pause there. It could have gone a little bit more jump on it. But
that was an audible
pause.
You know,
for your first time. That was pretty good.
That pause was pregnant with triplets.
Yeah.
That was.
And speaking of pregnant with triplets, video games.
No, I want to see you connect this, Salsa.
What do you mean? I already made that connection.
Mm. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
What was the connection?
Video games.
How does that relate to pregnant with triplets?
Well, I just said Assassin's Creed 2 is a trilogy, which is video game triplets.
Don't help this.
I don't think I'm helping.
No helping is needed.
More,
it's an obvious. Look, Jenna, if you can't see the connection, then I'm sorry. This is just, I don't know what I can do for you here.
Yes, Salsa. All- please explain to me how a pregnancy of triplets relates to video games.
Okay, so Jenna, I don't know if you know this, but what happens is video games.
Yeah, I thought you started with garlic and onions.
Obviously. Where do you think the dangly bits comes from?
I don't remember where from, but someone said that, yeah.
Whatever.
But Jenna, right. don't worry your pretty little head over it, okay?
You are very lucky we are recording remotely right now.
Why do you think
lucky or calculated?
Exactly.
Probably calculated.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway, video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Or pregnant with triplets, as Jenna would say.
Okay. Wow. All right. So Salsa, you had been talking about a game that you had gone back.
I'm actually I was looking at my video game library in Steam and like my video games, you know, physical like copies of like Xbox and stuff, and none of it was really.
As a librarian, do you sort your Steam differently?
I absolutely organize my Steam library.
Updated library catalog system.
I use my own catalog because Dewey can fuck right off. Dewey Decimal is terrible. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate Dewey.
Hexadecimal is even worse.
I have strong opinions about Dewey Decimal System. Don't even get me fucking started.
I don't want to hear it now.
But anyway,
Hexadecimal is my math rock album.
Nope. You will not sidetrack me on this one. Anyway, I wanted to play a video game, but none of it was really like feeling it. Except I was like, oh, Assassin's Creed. I should play some of that. That sounds fun. I could do some of that. And then I was like, well, which one? Because there are.
Eight
a billion
ten
of the oh there's more than that
Oh, wow.
Especially, well, if you start putting in the mobile games, and then they had some like platformer style games. Like those ones, actually, those were pretty fun, and they kind of flesh out some of the backstory. Like there is there's a short movie that was made that takes place after the events of Revelations, which is the third game in the Assassin's Creed 2 trilogy.
It is actually a rule that in any series or franchise that the third one must be named Revelations.
But it wasn't the third one. It was the third one in... I suppose it was the third one in that trilogy.
See,
but it was
in
the
Japan,
fourth game.
It's the sixth one, but over here...
But anyway...
It's number three.
But there was a short movie that was made where Ezio Auditore, an older Ezio Auditore, meets this young woman from China named Jin Bao. Mm-hmm. And she goes back to China, and so, like... They've got the Assassin's Creed Chronicles, which are three like platformer games, and the first one is Jin Bao in China, and then the second one of those is in India and kind of continues that story with another character, but following the story of Jin Bao and like the artifact that she had, and then the third one is in Russia, taking place during the Russian Revolution, which is.
Wow.
Pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, so those are actually not many people have played those because they are a completely different style of game. But they still flesh out the lore a little bit, if you will. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked a little bit. Obviously, Assassin's Creed is a game that I have played a lot of, and I think that they are fan-fucking-tastic. I love those games. And have since before they came out. Before the first Assassin's Creed video game even came out, I was playing a series of games called Thief. Which is you're playing a thief, and like some of the challenges there is to get in and out without killing anyone or setting off any alarms or anything like that. And it was such a game changer for me, because we've talked before, I'm not that kind of like first person shooter frenetic, like gotta do the thing, gotta go, like I'm very much that gonna sit here and watch and wait and kind of plan my I'm gonna do this and do very
guards,
carefully
pattern
stick to
down.
The shadows and so I was playing these thief games and I was loving them. Absolutely love the, and then I think I was in college when the first, it might have even been before college, might still have been in high school when like they announced the first Assassin's Creed game, and it was like this whole like spiritual successor to Thief, where it was like instead of a thief you're an assassin, but you're hiding and you're picking your moment and you're, you know, you're planning your target and you're scouting out and you're planning and for that one moment to strike, you know? And I was like, oh, I must play this game when it comes out. And finally the game came out, and yeah, it was in high school. I was still in high school, 'cause I like installed it on my computer and my computer wasn't good enough to run it. And so I just had this game that I couldn't play until I got to college and I got a new computer, and I built my own computer so it would be strong, specifically so it would be strong enough to play this game. And then I played the hell out of this game. And the first one gets a lot of hate by some people because it did get kind of repetitive in many ways, but I fucking loved it. And ever since then, every Assassin's Creed game has just been, they've like, all had their good points.
Assassin also?
What's that?
Something occurred to me. Were you also into Tenchu Stealth Assassin?
I don't even know what that is. So,
All right. Those are two PlayStation era games that you might really like.
I didn't really play any PlayStation era games, except like Final Fantasy. But so, yeah, I was playing the Assassin's Creed games, and I've follow. I've played every fucking game, even the mobile games, in the Assassin's Creed genre, because I fucking love it. But anyway, back to what I was saying. I was like looking at my Steam library, and I was like, oh, Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Haven't played this one in a while, and there's still some achievements that I haven't gotten on this one, so I'll load it up and I'll play it. And the beginning is so much fun, because you're playing as Haytham, who's a really fucking cool character, and you don't know he's a Templar. You're just like, I'm doing my thing. And then, like, at the end of the third or fourth chapter, there's the twist where he's actually a Templar, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then you play as young Connor, and young Connor sucks, but then you finally get old enough to be old Connor, and then you're good again. But, like, it's just, like, just getting back into that storyline and just being like, I'm playing an Assassin's Creed game again, and I love every minute of it. And Assassin's Creed, for me, is just one of those video game franchises that, like I said, it was a game changer. And, you know, like I said, first Thief and then Assassin's Creed was just this whole new genre of not that frenetic, like, gotta kill everything and gotta shoot. And it was just like this very, like, take your time, move slow, plan your shit, do the things, and then pick your moment. And and I just, I love those games so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just going back to play those, it made my soul very happy. So, what other games? What other games have you been playing? Any games from the past, or anything else that was a game changer for you? Literally game changer.
Literally changer.
Don't take James's thing. That's rude.
Okay. I'll take whatever the fuck I want from James.
Oh, okay. James, are you okay?
I mean, that's genuinely the dynamic of our relationship. So, yeah, is that, you know, I look up to Salsa, and then he's casually cruel to me. That's how that works.
Like,
all right.
He is my Alex Horn to my Taskmaster.
Oh, that's weirdly apt. I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah.
You know what? Set aside. Maybe talk with a professional about it.
Who said you were allowed to feel anything, James? I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Tough with
that. Ow. I have concerns. Anyway.
As well you should.
I don't know. Borderlands is a game that, like, and I know it's not a way back, but...
I mean, neither are Assassin's Creed, really.
Right, but getting into when my family played Tiny Tina's Wonderland, like, I had started a little bit of 3 and was just like, that's not all right. I wasn't happy with that, but Tiny Tina's Wonderland felt way more like Borderlands 2 in functionality, and I really appreciated that. So, yeah. That was nice, and it's, like, I've always played it with people. And being able to play it with my family, because I'd played with Jessa before. And yeah, just getting to do kind of that mother-daughter thing, but including my brother, and like, there was just kind of this nice family gaming vibe. Like, it felt like I was going back to some of that kind of a thing.
Sure.
So, and also remembering various mechanics and in jokes and everything else for Borderlands. It's like, yes, all right. So yeah, Borderlands was one. When we did the Halo marathon.
Oh.
I hadn't played Halo for like 10 years. When I started doing that. And getting back into that and being like, oh yeah. Because I've always just, I had really played more of just, like, capture the flag style.
Sure.
And so, like, going through the campaign and things, and I had done a little bit previous, but there was both a sense of newness and a sense of nostalgia for me because I was doing things differently than I had done in the past. But like all of the concepts were there. Oh, also I was playing controller. We did that controller style. And I hadn't played a controller game in fucking forever.
Yeah.
So going back to a controller was both frustrating, but also like relaxingly nostalgic, right? So yeah, and being able to do that, you know, in the name of charity was like sure. that just hit all of my buttons. But yeah, like I started and people were like, I thought you'd play this before. I'm like, 10 years ago, motherfucker. Piss off. I gotta reacclimate. So yeah, like that was really nice, actually. Doing that. I guess those are going back to games.
I'm talking to Jax about playing through, at the very least, like the first two or three Halos. I guess we're going to try the first one together and see how they feel about it.
Oh, sure.
Because that was kind of how it was introduced to me, is that I was sort of decidedly disinterested in shooters, in first-person shooters particularly.
Sure.
And but I liked light gun games and stuff like that, but I just everything that I had heard about Halo, everything that I had read about Halo, seen about Halo, was all kind of that it was a lot of dude bro frat bro culture stuff.
Yeah,
and there is actually some of that in the storylines and in the game too.
Like, yeah,
that's there, it's there.
There's a little bit of like oorah Marines shit going on,
right? Well, there's one specific time when calls them all ladies, and I'm like, yeah, shut right. up.
Yeah,
yeah,
it did not
things like
well.
That.
Shut yeah. up.
So the there's that, but I had decided that it wasn't for me, and then a friend was like, no, shut up. I'm bringing over my Xbox. We're staying up all night. We're playing through it. You're going to go through the campaign with me. And it not only changed my mind about that series, but it changed my mind about first-person shooters.
Whoa.
And although I'm still not into, you know, COD blops and Modern Warfare and a lot of the other stuff, it has brought me a huge amount of joy with games like Metroid Prime, with Half-Life, with Unreal Tournament, and a bunch of other stuff that I really dig. So there is that. And also, I just the story and the universe are an interesting one. It's very, you know, dude-centric, but it's, I think, especially lately, that it's been opening up a lot more. Halo, especially playing through the campaign of Halo with someone, is very nostalgic for me. So, fucking awesome, awesome mention, Jenna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have Jax try Borderlands 2. That is, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the introduction of Tiny Tina. And I think Jax would be delighted by that character.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think it is much gender better about gender stuff overall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
30 years later, yes.
The Techromancer is an easy character to play and feel involved with if you don't understand all of the mechanics. That's how I got into it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is delightful. And it's just fucking ridiculous. Like, Torg is obviously just like this kind of dude, but
the Russian
so
Cave
incredibly
Johnson.
Incredibly over the top
mm-hmm.
that you don't feel like this is a resemblance of a dude. It's an over-the-top caricature.
Right.
And sometimes even makes fun of that, which I think is great. I think Jax would enjoy Borderlands 2.
Yeah. I think that's entirely possible.
I think I own Borderlands 2. I've just never played it.
I recommend it.
I've heard that. I played the first Borderlands and it was fun, but it was still a first person shooter.
Hmm. Yeah. I really appreciate the sense of humor of Borderlands 2.
Yeah. I mean, one was pretty good too, but I think Borderlands 2 is where they really hit their stride on the comedy.
Yeah. Same. There's a lot of that. The game that I keep going back to for me, other than, you know, various and sundry Zeldas.
Yeah, I do own Borderlands 2. I should play that one of these days.
I keep playing different racing games and different flying games, but there's a game called Omega Boost. It was a one and done on the PlayStation, and I tried it in a Best Buy and then had to fucking Best Buy it.
All right.
Yeah. There were a couple of different games in that style called Zone of the Enders, but it is one that I actively play a couple times a year. There's a story mode. It's single player. It's not. It was never a big deal. It was in an Eiffel 65 song about the PlayStation. Mentioned passingly in a song, but other than that, it really had no fucking fanfare. But it is obscenely fun to play. It is just the right amount of difficulty, and the music is incredible. It's got a really dumb story that I really like, and Static X did some of the music for it. But no, it's a giant robot game, but it's an over the shoulder free shooter that's really pretty well designed, especially for early PlayStation shit. So I love it. That and Armored Core are kind of the PlayStation games that I go back to. I have spent an enormous amount of time talking about what I like about Armored Core on a series of podcasts, but it is very exciting to me that number 6 is coming out in August. It has been nice to see the internet suddenly alive with buzz about that, because From Software became famous in the meantime. They stopped making Armored Core games for a fucking decade, more than a decade, and made Dark Souls and Bloodborne and everything else. And then now that they're back making Armored Core, you have all of those people who are fans of that being like, oh, this is great. This looks so cool. I'm ready to, all of the communities that were, these quiet, you could hear a cricket fart communities out in the internet backwaters suddenly have millions of people talking on them and taking part in that. And it's kind of amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I did think of one actual retro game that I like to go back to every once in a while.
What's that?
Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Fuck. If there is ever a game where I'm just like, I am pissed off at the world. How many of these motherfuckers am I bringing with me to die on this goddamn trail? I learned early on, don't name any of my characters Jessa. Feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I have at times named a character Salsa.
That seems correct.
Yeah.
And just not fed them ever.
Yeah.
Salsa died of dysentery. Wow. Yeah. That seems right.
That's what you get for dissing Terry.
It was syphilis last
time. Terry had it coming.
Gonorrhea the next time.
I believe that.
I have on my bookmarks bar on my computer. Mm-hmm. I have links to two emulator games.
Oh,
one of them is Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Hell yeah.
Shit.
And the other one is Oregon Trail.
Hmm. Awesome. Zork and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy are my two.
I tried Hitchhiker's Guide a couple times and I was just like, fuck this game.
It's fucking hard.
Yep. No, I never enjoyed it because it was so, I've never enjoyed games that were just hard for the sake of being hard.
No, me neither.
Like, I mean, even when I was playing a lot of those adventure games like King's Quest or Space mm-hmm. Quest, they were hard, but they were still like fun. Whereas Hitchhiker's Guide was just like hard to the point of go fuck yourself. It wasn't hard for fun. It was hard to be hard. And I never enjoyed it.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, that's a good one, Jenna.
Yeah.
I know.
I had completed Oregon Trail so many times by the time, over the course of the first few years of grade school, that after a little while, I would just go in there, beat that game very quickly in the grade school computer lab, beat that game very quickly, and then load up like the paper airplane simulator or any number of other things that they had on the local server and play through a ton of other stuff. Very similarly to like when they're like, all right, everybody, we have 20 minutes. We're going to read this short story in the English textbook. And then you would blast through that and then, you know, read two or three other stories. And I ended mm-hmm. up reading some really fucked up shit as a grade schooler because the lottery. What a miserable lesson.
Like
that
some
is
of those
ones,
like the lottery and the Velt were both ones fuck. That stuck with me as yeah. being just mm-hmm. what the fuck am I reading?
Mm-hmm. What are these things you guys are talking about?
Well, the lottery is one that's in a couple of English textbooks. It's generally reserved for slightly older.
It's a Bradbury one, isn't it? It's Ray Bradbury?
Yeah, it's the one where they're drawing stones to see who's going to die.
No, the lottery is Shirley Jackson.
For the community. And then Bradbury, I think, is the one who wrote the Velt, which is the room that can give you whatever you want. It's a holodeck, basically.
Yeah, it's a nursery.
Yeah, and the children accidentally or purposely or whatever, they conjure up real lions that end up killing yep. and eating them.
So the Velt is Ray Bradbury, but the lottery yeah. is by somebody else.
I remember reading the Velt in a collection of stories called The Illustrated Man.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them are just, they're short stories, but they're very dark.
Yes.
And they seem, both of them seem very bright and happy until mm-hmm. the ending, when suddenly it changes.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a sec, what's
happening?
Yeah.
I've been kind okay. of having that experience video game-wise, too.
Mm.
Yeah, I was playing through Escape Academy, which is a game to make people who enjoy escape rooms feel smart and good about themselves. Oh. And it is very fun, but there is a surprisingly dark turn in it. And I remember I was in the last couple of chapters of that, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a break from this, and I'm going to play this game that I downloaded because it's got like a pretty cartoon lady on the cover image mm-hmm. Called Contrast. And it starts
Contrast
out
was a good one. I enjoyed
immediately
Contrast.
Immediately getting dark.
Oh yeah, no, that one gets real, really deep into it. But it's beautiful game though.
It is. Oh, it's incredibly fun.
And the mechanic of it is brilliant.
Absolutely. You can pop between a two-dimensional shadow world and the three-dimensional world of bodied people. Yeah. Which reminds me a lot of the second Link to the Past game, Link Between Worlds.
Mm-hmm. So you traverse across the world by suddenly going boop and becoming a shadow on the wall, and then you walk across the shadow of an arch across a mm-hmm. gap, and then you can pop back into the real world.
Oh, that's fun.
It's an amazing mechanic.
It's a cool puzzle game. Yeah.
But the like the character you're playing is like, is it like the imaginary friend of a little girl who's
it seems that
not
way.
Living a happy life.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. And that
it's
becomes
very dark.
Pretty apparent almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like super liminal. Ends up being a happy, fun.
Well, a lot of the ones from that publisher likes making those games that are just kind of very fun on the front end of it, and then just like a story underneath it that fucks you up.
Superliminal just has a whole horror segment.
Yep.
And then kind of that turn. I'm trying to think if there were other games that sort of treated me that way. I think Link's Awakening was kind of one of the first that gave me existential dread of a sort. Yeah, it was. I think that was the first video game that just made me
mm-hmm.
weep.
Like, I think Bastion had that a little bit.
Bastion's a really good one for that. Really, yeah,
but it did. It wasn't like it had a dark story.
Yeah,
but it wasn't just like a dark story.
No, like, and it was weirdly hopeful in a
yeah,
way.
Exactly.
Life back together.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh. Doo-doo-doo-doom. Yeah.
You were gonna say something.
Who?
You.
Me? Oh, I was looking at my Steam library trying to think of other ones, and I was like, oh, Disco Elysium. But then I was like, yeah, that one doesn't really look fun from the beginning though. Like even the art style is pretty well. This is going to be a game that's going to spit you out.
I've heard Doki Doki Literature Club is very similarly fucked up.
It's fucked up, but not in like a super like holy shit, this is dark way.
Oh,
like my understanding is more it kind of like starts to mess with your brain.
Oh, my understanding is that
is different.
Yes.
And that it's possible.
My
I haven't played it so.
without spoiling any part of it.
I haven't played it. I know it starts to basically like fuck with your computer and
kind of that's more like that. Pony Island does a lot of that. Gets you to hack things. But yeah, as far as retro games that I've been going back to, I also bought an N64 controller for my Switch so that I could more happily play a lot of the N64 titles that I've loved since that system came out, but especially Star Fox is fucking amazing.
Oh shit. I haven't thought of that game in forever.
That's Star Fox 64 is a personal favorite. The story mode and the multiplayer, that was the game that sold me on the 64. Not Mario 64, not Ocarina of Time. I had just consigned myself on not being able to get either of those. And then I sat down and played Star Fox.
Yeah,
at a video game shop, and I was like, shh.
"Well, I mean, if we're going to bring up Nintendo, then I think we have to talk about Super Mario's 3."
The Super Mario 3?
Yeah, I think I submit.
Mm-hmm.
You submit
that if
finally,
you took
it's been years,
If you took all of the video gamers in the world and add up the hours and add up hours spent playing all of the video games, then the one video game that has been played more than any other ever is Pong,
Tetris,
and Super Mario 3.
Yeah. That seems to check out. I would say that's
likely.
Probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to fight you on runners, that one.
Speedrunners alone doing, and then tool-assisted speedruns with save states and all that stuff.
But even beyond that, I think just the amount of hours that virtually every gamer over a certain age has sunk hundreds of hours into that one game.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got other stuff I think if you took every video game I've ever played and added them all and put it, I think Super Mario 3 would probably be right there at the
probably top that out. I think
even more than Tetris.
I'm trying to think for me which one would be the one that I've put by far the most amount of time into, and That's a hard question.
It is.
Yeah. But I'm actually super pleased what you can see in the corner of this little organizer. For those of you at home watching, imagine the corner of an organizer.
Yay. James added a visual element to the podcast.
On this podcast? The hell you say? Two Nintendo Entertainment System zappers. And I just bought the Mario Duck Hunt dual cartridge for $6. Awesome. I found it. I'm so
very nice.
Hell yeah.
Well done. Dear listeners, weigh in. What video games do you go back to? What video games changed your life? What is the most played video game that you ever played in your life? And why are we wrong about all of those things? let us know. Go to the Discord chat and do that, because that's apparently where everybody does things now, is there.
Yeah.
Because Salsa isn't there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I check in every so often and go, oh, look at all the people talking about stuff in here. No wonder Facebook was so quiet.
Drinking Malort?
Why would you bring that up, James? Okay, we're done. I'm shutting this down. James brought up Malort. We're done. We're going to come back in a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Go, Team Anger.
Don't know what y'all are talking about anyway, so... fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And those other guys.
And the horses they played polo on.
No, don't fuck the horses. That's weird.
Yeah, don't fuck the horses, but like...
James, you are the one who said to fuck the horses.
You are the one that said to fuck the horses.
Not for us to fuck the horses, but just that, like...
So who should fuck the horses, James?
Other horses. Who do you think?
You're the one who brought it up.
Yeah.
But you're the one yelling about them and leaving a blank space for comments about their horses.
No.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
And I'm Jenna. And I really feel like we need to add more details or words at some point.
Yeah, no, James wants us to fuck the horses that they rode in on.
Fuck horses they rode in? Yeah.
And I'm not okay with this, James.
Not the horses per se. But just anyone who enables.
I have
so concerns. Speaking of fucking horses, of Fast Five.
Fast Five?
Salsa?
Yes?
We've got to work on your segues. James, we have to work on you. You. Just
in general.
You. No. I agree with Jenna on this one.
I am, of course, perfect in every way, so you there is gross. No work
Mom
to be
and
done
aren't
here.
Fighting.
Anyway, today's Fast Five comes to us from Cake Hole.
Yay, Cake Hole. We haven't heard from Cake Hole in forever.
I got to see Cake Hole.
Did you really?
Yes, at the Ville show.
Ooh,
that I spoke so much about.
I see.
It was delightful. Yeah.
Well, Cole says, "Hi, friends, it's me, Cole, back again with a fast-ish five that is at least 2 weeks in the making."
Hey,
I started one and immediately forgot all of the questions I had. Oh. I had and had to come up with new questions. Enjoy. I mean, those are really the best ones where even the person making them doesn't really know what they're about.
Right? Like, what was I talking about again?
Anyway, question number one.
It's so weird to not have that.
Song. Ooh. Or dance?
Which
I'm
going to
go
likely
song.
To break out into spontaneously?
I break out into song spontaneously. Just I have done both. Mm-hmm. I was even in show choir, so I had to learn both at the same time.
Ooh.
But I can song is easier to learn. Like choreography takes a little bit of time to like get sunk in, but the tune you can get.
I'm a fucking terrible dancer. Yeah,
I'm a pretty good dancer. I just don't enjoy doing it as much.
As long as it's salsa. Yeah.
Yeah. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. Okay, we've got a little bit of a lag.
Yeah. Well, look, I took lead on that, so y'all need to figure out your own lives.
I was following you. James is the one lagging behind.
Yes, it's clearly me.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, song for me.
Song for me too. I feel like it's easier to break into song while in the shower. It's definitely safer.
I mean, it depends on the dance.
I've done an awful lot of dancing, and I'm definitely a movement person, so I think I think I'm probably gonna have to go dance on this.
All right. Question number two. Parade or picnic? I'm going to go with parade just because I dislike eating outside in general.
Well, and picnic kind of connotes sunny weather that people enjoy, and that's never been my jam. So
whereas parades are only in the winter.
Well, at least one major parade is in autumn. So yes. Also, isn't there a parade around the ice festival or like the
I don't know. I've never been to the ice festival.
The with the ice sculptures and the Vulcans and all of the everything.
I don't know.
Okay. I know your sister-in-law does sculpture there, right? No? I'm misremembering who I know that Stefan Senpai's wife, I believe, does sculpture out there. I thought that your sister-in-law also did sculpture out there.
No, there is a mutual friend of ours that does it, but it's not.
Okay. I'm misremembering, and that is the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we have a friend John that does that, but
yeah,
like that group of people, but
John is no one's wife.
No, no, he is not. No, there is a winter carnival and there is a parade.
Okay.
So that is a thing.
Yeah. I do love a parade.
I
love a parade.
I just wondered if some
not an actual alley, just the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like a good parade.
Oh.
As long as I'm not marching in it.
What do you like about parades? For me, it's getting hit with candy. That's really kind of the highlight of the parade.
I mean, candy was the best part.
Yeah.
Growing up. Now it's just like the entertainment comes to me.
Mm. Oh, so it's your laziness.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Have you met me?
Given a choice to be lazy, Salsa will not choose anything because that requires effort.
Unless one of the choices is Batman, in which case I will still choose being lazy.
Wow.
I will be Batman, but I will be a lazy Batman.
That's fair.
Lazy Batman would be a tremendous...
You're just
going to
be Bruce Wayne?
Lazy Batman sounds like a sex move.
Oh, the lazy Batman. Is that...
I am the knight.
I'm wondering if that's like related to a Spartan helmet.
I think a lazy...
I don't know, and I don't want to know what that is.
I think a lazy Batman is one of you's hanging upside down.
I thought that was Spider-Man.
One of you is upside down, but not hanging upside down because that requires effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, if and I'm also, hanging then upside it would down be the Spider-Man. Was Spider-Man.
Yeah, Jenna's correct on this.
Dear listeners, tell us what a lazy Batman would be.
Well, you see, a rushed adventure is when you and your lover both have a scuba diver's mask in each other's.
The old man knows nothing. He described a double frog man.
I don't... Okay, so anyway, can we please get back on track?
I don't know why that was...
I like eating.
There.
I don't like ants or other things associated with picnics, but I fucking love picnic food.
I do love a barbecue.
Barbecues are nice, but they're not picnics.
Yeah, and picnic food is great. I like to take it inside and eat it there.
Which idiom is more applicable to you, that it's no picnic or someone is raining on your parade?
Ooh.
Can I be raining on other people's parade?
I feel like you do.
You normally are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
Hurricane Salsa.
Ah, I like it. I'm going to stick with parade.
Okay.
I think that was a real good call, James, or at least a very...
We'll see.
The ways that you try to put things together are sometimes a bit reaching. That one actually makes sense.
Yeah.
So I want to give you a couple of James points for that.
A James point?
Yeah. I gave you a couple of them.
Ooh. Don't spend it in one place.
Right.
Don't spend one on one, James.
Someday I'll figure out what those are worth.
I hope it's food.
Anyway, question number three.
Oh, I still never picked.
Oh,
but...
well, I... sorry.
I'll go.
I thought you had.
No, I'll just go picnic anyway. Tired of thinking about it.
Okay. Question number three.
Mm-hmm. Salsa, who had to coordinate with himself for that.
Yeah, I've only got one hand.
See, no, 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 no. I don't want to know what the other one is doing.
Holding my beer.
One hand doesn't know what the other one is doing.
No, the other hand is holding my beer.
It's washing the other.
Below there, and one hand really,
it's holding.
Doesn't know what it's
my beer
doing. I don't. So Salsa, before he does something extraordinarily dangerous and stupid, says, "Hold my beer," to himself, and then
what is dangerous or stupid about doing this? So stupid is actually about this podcast.
Okay, yeah.
I will accept stupid. That
you
one.
Have been accepting stupid for many, many years.
For some people,
what's
that's
the
our whole
question?
Job.
I don't know. Where are we?
Question number three.
Yes. Strangers or neighbors?
Perfect or strangers or good neighbors? Which was a better situational comedy?
I would rather strangers came to my shows, caught me naked, did a thing, whatever. Because I'll never see them again.
One hopes.
If I do a show, and this is like, I get a little back and forth on this because it is much easier for me to perform in front of a group of strangers because I'll never see them again. But I do like having my friends come up to me afterwards and be like, "So
having them say one more time."
Oh my god, your microphone is filtering that out.
Yeah, when you peak like that. So we're just getting.
I mean, that's basically what they said.
Oh, okay.
People understood.
Queen and saying how good a job I did. It doesn't have the same emphasis when I just spell it out like that.
Well, and if a stranger gives me a compliment, I feel like it's probably pretty genuinely true. But if a friend gives me a compliment, as much as I trust that friend, as much as I love that friend, my brain isn't going to believe it.
Sure.
Because I'm like, this person has an investment in my life and happiness, so obviously they're going to lie to me.
Right.
Where, you know, someone who, again, as you said, Jenna, will never see me again, they don't have to have any compunctions about that. They are more likely, in my mind, to be honest about how I did.
Right.
Than somebody who knows me and, you know, gives a shit about my well-being. So, yeah, a lot of compliments that strangers have given me have stuck with me.
I don't care if my neighbors see me naked.
I believe this to be true and accurate.
Yeah, Salsa doesn't care if anybody sees him naked. It's just he walks around wearing a caftan and not really.
Yeah.
Doing deep squats in front of the bay window and yeah.
I'm gonna go strangers.
Strangers.
I'll go strangers.
Right. Well, went strangers on that one. Question number four. Offered or asked?
For help?
I would much rather offer help than ask for it.
Yeah, same. But it is easier for me to accept help that has been offered than to accept that I have to ask for help.
I like what James is saying right there. I that's kind of what I was.
That makes me feel like it's probably wrong.
That's probably. But that's.
Oh, I just assumed because.
You verbalized what was in my head.
Ew.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of gross, buddy.
Ah. How do I get out of there?
You're stuck here now.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone.
Why is everything sticky in here?
Because I masturbate in there a lot.
He doesn't care if the neighbors see it.
Whatever. So
there's that.
It's their problem for looking.
Like, free show. So,
it's in my own house. Call the cops. I don't care.
Come back with a warrant. We have one. What were the choices?
James is too busy thinking about me masturbating now.
I'm too busy trying not. Really
I didn't have any of that.
I just watched Jenna power off for about 15 to 20 solid seconds.
I really did.
Just a little buffering symbol appeared on her forehead.
Beach ball.
Offered none of this is okay. Or asked.
Offered or asked. Yeah. I am much more likely to offer help before being asked. And it's kind of a problem a lot of the time.
I would rather somebody asked me if I needed help before offering to help me.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's an interesting spin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember very clearly one example where you were trying to take apart a shelf and I reached for it. And before I even like that thing that goes off in your head where you're like, that stove is probably hot. That was don't touch stove. Don't shut. No, fire hot. That went off in my head. And I was like, I'm going to let you. I not let you. I'm just going to I'll stand over here. I'm going to back off of this. Yep.
No, right. What?
No, makes... I am in the middle of doing something and somebody else just starts helping me or even is like, here, let me get that for you. Ugh. As opposed to, can I help you in any way? I'm going to stab him. I'm just with my eyes usually. And that's usually enough.
First,
If I'm already in the middle of doing something, I already have a mental list of what it is that I need to do and how I need to do it. And like there's a part of me that when somebody's like, here, let me do this for you without asking me if I want their help. A part of me gets offended, like just straight up offended. Like,
they don't believe you can do it yourself. Yeah.
How dare you? But then another part of me, now I have to take into account on top of everything else that I'm doing, what this other person is doing. And they haven't asked me anything about it. They're just doing. I'm probably like, that's probably step number four for me. And I have three other things I want to get done. And they're just going to jump to step four. And now I need to recalculate everything or I need to yell at somebody. And usually I go for yelling at them. But like, yeah, now I have to take the time to deal with another factor. Ask. Right. Just ask. Just fucking ask. Just ask. Don't assume.
I'm excited to find out what this one is.
See, I'm going to go with ask on this.
All right.
I just realized my daughter is so much Jenna.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very much, she's actually kind of like a mix between your sister-in-law and me.
Oh, very much so. Very much my sister-in-law. Yes.
Yeah.
No, she is very much my sister-in-law.
She takes after her aunties.
Oh, so much. So much. No, I think what James was saying earlier, I'm going to stick with. I'm more likely to accept help if someone offers help than if I need to ask for it.
Hmm.
If I need to ask for help, it's already way beyond the point of...
Too late.
Yeah. All right. Question number five.
It's really funny when it's not happening to me.
Amusement park or zoo?
Amusement park.
When you think of Como Park, do you think of it as an amusement park or a zoo? I think of it as being a zoo.
I think of Como as being a zoo. Yeah.
Which
I would rather hang out in the amusement park area than the zoo area, personally. I prefer Minnesota.
Which Shakopee area thing do you like best?
Is the zoo in Shakopee?
Valley Fair or... I think it's in like the... I think it's southwest of the cities and kind of the...
The Minnesota Zoo is nowhere near Shakopee. No, it's south not. Of where the 35 split happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's very south of the cities.
Yeah. And actually south and a little east, I think.
Yeah, south and east of... Yeah, you go south of the split.
I haven't driven there. I just have vague memories of going there as a kid.
Mm. Of its existence.
I have not been there in... Again, probably 20 years.
Yeah, so we go to the zoo at least once a year. I haven't been to Valley Fair since a long time.
I've been to Valley Fair pretty recently.
Over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Did you mow their lawn?
No.
Do
they have any lawn?
Somewhere, I'm sure. It's their new popular ride, the lawnmower. I'd
ride it.
Yeah, same. It's just a bunch of...
I believe you.
Just a bunch of, like, middle-aged parents just puttering
around. Drinking beer. It's
like the classic cars, but you can drink on them. Yeah. So, there's that. I've been to Valley Fair pretty recently, and honestly, I really like it. That is still a fun day for me.
Mm-hmm. Should take the kids there someday.
Mm. I don't like roller coasters, so...
Mm.
Hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, the thing is like, we took the kids to, like, Como Park and stuff like that, and they rode the roller coasters, and we're like, ah, those are scary. And then we took them to Disney World, and they rode every roller coaster. So
hell yeah.
I think it depends on the location a little bit.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, we go to the zoo way more often than we go to amusement parks.
That's really cool. I think what's missing for me with the amusement park is a little plaque next to all the roller coasters talking about where they come from, what they like to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, having a little pellet dispenser that you can mm-hmm. use to hand feed the roller coaster.
Yeah.
That would make it ideal. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is an African spotted roller coaster.
It's the anaconda.
Isn't that just leopard print?
The one.
Anaconda's not from Africa, James.
I have no idea where they're from.
Wow. That's racist.
Okay.
Opening up the second half of this.
Oh, good.
Question number one, song or dance. Would you rather sit through a child's end of the year concert
Ooh.
Or a child's dance recital?
Dance recital.
Side note,
okay.
I've had to sit through both in the last 2 weeks, and while the concert was significantly shorter, the dance recital was much more enjoyable.
Right. Oh. I think the dance recital would be way more hilarious.
I agree.
Yeah, you have student-level concerts. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be off-key, it's going to be off-beat, there's going to be... You know, and even if it's decent, it's not going to be like, even if everybody's on, like everybody's yep. just on top of their game, a lot of times it's not going to be super quality unless you have like a specialized end of the year concert thing mm-hmm. for like specialized groups and whatever else. But like the My Billy Will Play Violin, God damn it, and now I have to go to his concert in fourth grade.
Ooh.
Probably not. Probably not. Yep. Whereas a dance recital, if a little kid fucks up at a dance recital, it is adorable.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. I got to see somebody's kid had gone to a dance recital. It was taking part in a dance recital, and it was adorable. Like, chemically
yeah.
adorable.
Yep. Yep. No, I think that one's a pretty much straight down the middle.
We're all right. Agreement. All right.
Question number two, parade or picnic. Are you more likely to go to a city parade or a city picnic on a holiday like Memorial Day or Labor Day? What is a city picnic?
Well, I assume it's a picnic that involves
the city. Are those things?
You understand both of those words. I don't.
No, like I'm legitimately
snarky about Ross's understanding of a basic concept, because that's real funny.
No, I don't know if I've ever seen a city picnic.
I don't know that I've ever been invited to a city picnic, probably because they know who I am. But I have seen, like, in movies and other, like, specifically, like, earlier part of last century. Jesus Christ, we're fucking old. There would be a lot of, like, city picnic or town picnic type
Sure. Being a music man.
Yeah, like a music man or things like that, right? Honestly, like in this day and age, with how food handling is, we have better understandings of that, and it's probably not going to be super quality anyway. I'd probably go to the parade.
Well, the closest I can think of is like the National Night Out picnics.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, that's kind of a city picnic.
Is that? Yeah. Would that be?
I mean, it's several tiny neighborhood picnics, but it's that's the same concept. Yeah.
Yep.
So. Like, I know my neighbors pretty well, so they're
sure.
Probably Salsa's neighbors know him really well, but that's
way more than they wanted to. That's for fucking sure.
Oh no! You don't get to assign them what they do and don't like, Jenna. You're putting a lot of your own baggage on them. I think they put up blackout curtains
as a favor to themselves.
Yeah, no, look, the fact that my neighbors haven't put up blackout curtains means they're into it.
Oh,
that's an assumption that you're going with. Yep.
Well, you know what happens when you assume.
Yes.
You are sometimes correct.
There is an ass and they are the option.
Huh.
I just because I'm having a hard time visualizing what a city picnic would look like.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go with the parade.
City parade seems a lot shorter, and there's very little risk of people deciding to like
talk to you.
Yeah. So that seems more like a Salsa thing.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Question number three, strangers or neighbors? All right. Buckle up. This one's going to take a little while.
Oh.
When going on a vacation, are you more likely to have a neighbor check in on your house, plants, and pets? Or would you rather pay a service to do those things or boarding a pet? Short story behind this question. We are very close to our neighbors. We've had dinners together. We've watched their kids and they've watched ours for date nights. We have three cats and they come and feed the and pet the girl. They will come feed and pet the girls. I assume they mean the cats.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that's strange.
It's different.
A weird way of phrasing. Come and pet the girls. They have a lot of houseplants and a beautiful garden out back, but they will always pay to a service to water the plants rather than ask us. We have offered many times, but they always choose to pay strangers for that service. Okay. I didn't know there was a service for that.
Yeah, that makes sense though. Cause there's a service for dog poop scooping. There's a service for doing your dishes. There's a service for,
I know there's lawn care services, but I didn't realize there were services where you could actually like go to my house and water my indoor plants.
I'm not surprised by this at all. If you can have like housemaids,
yeah,
like, no, it doesn't. You know, like a weekly maid or something. That's just, yeah, the same kind of service, just less cleaning, more watering.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Right? I just never realized they existed. I'm gonna, I will ask neighbors or family absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll have partners drop in and cuddle Linguini and make sure that he's got water and
yep.
company and then he's doing okay. Water the plants.
All right. Question number
I was going to say mine's a little bit of a cheat because my landlord lives kitty corner from me. And so like if I'm going to be out of town, I can just be like, hey, can you
yeah.
make come sure like packages don't get left on the door? Oh, yeah, I don't really have anything in the house to water or take care of. But like, hey, can you look kitty corner from your back upstairs porch and make sure your property isn't on fire at any point is a pretty easy ask.
Sure.
It is.
Question number four seems to kind of piggyback that one. Offered or asked, do you offer to help friends with watching pets, water plants, moving, etc., or do you wait for them to ask you for help?
Depends on how much I like them.
That one I will absolutely wait to be asked.
with the
exception of moving. Well, no, honestly, even with moving, because sometimes they'd be like, we're just going to get a service and that's done.
Yeah.
If they say we're moving, we're going to have some friends over, then I'll say, oh, hey, yeah, we'll be there. Absolutely. But I think that still falls into the ask category.
Weirdly, more recently, especially when I just don't have the time or bandwidth to go and help somebody move, I am more likely to rent a truck for them.
I mean,
a lot of friends who are like, anybody who has a van or an SUV or something like that, mm-hmm. we'll just try to pack as many boxes as we can. And I'm like, fucking, let's just get you a truck.
Yeah.
We are just going, I'm going to rent a truck for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick it up. I'm going to, you know, you'll sign the things for it. I will give you the money for it. I will arrange a cheap truck.
Sure.
Through a mutual friend and but don't, man, trying to do, you know, 10 trips for one van load of shit, that's
a couple years back Joe was like, I don't want to help you move, but I don't want to be a bad boyfriend, can I just pay for movers for you? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, does that make me a bad boyfriend that I don't want to help you move? I'm like, no, you're absolutely helping me move. You're mm-hmm. paying for the move. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to do now, and this is glorious. Like, but his big thing is he's too old to help mm-hmm. people move for pizza and beer. Yeah. He could just buy pizza and beer
mm-hmm.
and not lift things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Whenever possible, I will offer for my contributions to be getting the truck, driving the truck, and doing the loading and unloading on the truck side.
Sure.
Because like managing the Tetrising and things like that, I've got experience with it. I'm good with helping with a lot of the like bigger, more difficult furniture. I helped a friend move a gun safe that crushed the dolly we used to bring it out to the truck. Yeah, those things are
not light.
And then we slowly... slowly and very dangerously slid it down the basement stairs with two of us in front of it so that at least if something catastrophic happened, we would have company on the way to the, you know, emergency room. But that was, I think I offer to help people with moving, but when it comes to pets and plants and things like that, that doesn't take a ton of help. So I would wait for somebody to ask.
All right. Question number five. Amusement park or zoo, which first grade field trip would you rather be a chaperone for?
Oh, Fuck.
A trip to Valley Fair or the trip to the Minnesota Zoo? Oh, the zoo. Zoo, hands down.
Yeah. I want to go down. See my red pandas.
Well, not only is it educational, but those kids aren't getting all sugared up and spun around.
Right. And going in 25-7 different directions.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, like, three kids want to go on the roller coaster, two kids are afraid of roller coasters, and they want to go on the bumper cars.
The zoo, you just go, everybody, we're going to, go to the reptile house. Let's fucking go.
Which is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just, like, yeah, trying to, but then you're like, all right, everybody, we're going to the reptile house.
Yep.
It's just so much better.
All right. Anyway, closing thoughts. My daughter is 7. This is Cole saying this, not me. My daughter is 7, and she has been a very busy girl lately with competition dance, gymnastics, Girl Scouts, and now she's running for Little Miss Delano, which is a mini version of the high school royalty ambassador program in our town. Wow. I've spent so much time with very tiny humans that I'm already worn out, and summer hasn't even started yet. I did get to have an awesome night out watching Vilification Tennis do their Dungeons and Dickwads show, and I needed it.
Yes.
And I finally got to meet James.
Yeah, yeah. It was so exciting.
Have a fantastic summer and happy early Pride Month. Much love, Cole. Woo.
Yay, thank you, Kickle.
Hey, Cole.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to the AON Podcast website, AONpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out that form. It's that easy. Anyone can do it.
Do it.
Does anybody have any shout outs?
I want to give a shout out to my landlord.
Awesome.
He's really fucking cool and really chill and always open to hearing my ideas on what I want to do with his property. And yeah, like I mentioned yesterday, hey, air conditioning units. And he was like, yeah, you should have those. Let's get those in.
Let's make that happen.
And yeah, he's like, also a couple of weeks ago, there was a decapitated animal in my yard. And I was like, hey, landlord, I'm not the right person for this job. Mm-hmm. Could you help me? And he's like, yeah, I got it. Not a problem. Just anytime I need something, and he is never bothered by it. I try not to be too much of a pain in the ass either, but like, yeah, he's just always like, yeah, sure. I live kitty corner from you. I will be there in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Shout out to my landlord. He's nice. An awesome person.
Bangering. James.
Shout out to my doctor, whose first and middle name I have only just found out, because I looked at the prescription thing that I, you know, like the outpatient form, like, this is how you take care of this. This is the recommendation. Here's your prescription, that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, your message still says Happy Thanksgiving. And she said, no, that's my first and middle name. My parents were gigantic hippies. I was born on Thanksgiving, so they named me Happy Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And I was like, that's...
I would have gotten a name change a long time ago.
I do not trust their parents.
I try to talk this clinic into not putting my middle name on the forms, because then I'll just be, you know, Dr. Happy, whatever.
That.
Sounds
like that person needs therapy.
Very weird. Well, no, my general practitioner. So
right, no, it also sounds like that person needs therapy.
Yeah, could be. But,
or their parents do, at least.
She's an excellent doctor. So, did a great job taking care of me over this weekend and making sure that I had good recommendations that will help me to feel better and be on this very podcast episode.
Okay. I have completely forgotten what I was going to say because of that revelation.
So it's quite a thing, yeah.
I had a thing, and then James said his thing, and now my brain is just a blank.
Now you're just thinking about food. That's...
Possibly. Also, my leg is kind of cramping up and it hurts.
Aww.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. Oh no.
Right?
Again, hamstring injury.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a shout out to my son.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his orange belt in Kung Fu. He just had a birthday. He's awesome. Go you, little man.
True fact.
Go
he's you. A pretty awesome yeah. kid.
Good
yeah.
job, Asher.
Does anybody have anything to plug? Casimir the Hungry will be in Alma, Wisconsin on June 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd, for Fire in the Shire. I'll be doing three Ooh. Performances there. Remember, Alma, Wisconsin, Fire in the Shire, that's where the Castle Rock Museum is, and they just put an extension on.
Rad.
So that already pretty big museum is even bigger now. You should go.
I know right. that Newborn Renaissance Festival, mm-hmm. Newborn Village, is starting up on June 10th.
Yep.
And running for 4 weekends. Yep. And the fencing booth will be there.
Yeah, they will.
So if you need to go get your fencing on, get you to Newborn Village. I don't remember where it's located. I mean, it's in Wisconsin, right?
I'm not crazy. Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
Near Chippewa Falls. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, get you to Chippewa Falls.
Yep. They got their chain link fence. They got their white picket fence. They got their,
balloon fence.
Balloon Literally, fence.
They do have a picket fence.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to K-Cole for sending in the K-Cole. Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.